Amen. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read the parable of the sower. I thought they were going to teach my lesson today in Sunday school. I titled this, Who is Planting in Your Garden? Who is Planting in Your Garden? In Mark chapter 4, verses 3, it says, Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Father God, we just come before you today. I am thankful, Lord, that I know that your word is alive. It's active. It's living, and it's able to divide our soul and spirit, God. I pray, Lord, today that we rightly divide the word of truth. I pray, Father, Lord, that the Spirit of God takes this word and plants it in each one of our hearts, God, and that fruit will be born from this, God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so thankful that the disciples were not real smart. They didn't get a lot of things that Jesus taught. And so if you would continue to read this chapter, you'll see the disciples got Jesus aside and said, what in the world did that mean? And so he broke it down in the rest of the chapter. So you feel free to read that, not now. Later this afternoon, you feel free to read that because he tells us different things. But one of the things he says that this parable, now you know Jesus taught in parables, right? This parable is the key to understanding all parables. So you don't think this parable is important? You're not. If you don't get this one, you don't get any of them. You got to get this parable. Are you getting the significance? I also want to say one thing really at the very beginning of this. I am preaching to you. I am not preaching to your neighbor. I'm preaching to you. I want you to know. Because he talks about the soil. And I think because you're sitting here and because you're probably saved, you think you're good soil. Oh, yeah, I made it. I got news for you. Sometimes you are and sometimes you're not. You know, sometimes I think we are that wayside soil. We're hard. Sometimes I think we just come to church and we do our religious deal. And it's, you know what the wayside soil was? It was where the sower walked. It was the soil that wasn't broken up through praise and worship. That the hand of God had not touched it. So it was like throwing seeds on this concrete. And as soon as they walk out the church door, Satan comes and steals that seed. We talked about that in Sunday school. And it happens all the time. See, the Bible says that the seed that is sown is the word of God. And James comes along and he says in verse 21, he says, Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Guys, we are made in the image of God. We are triune beings. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when you get saved, God comes into your spirit and he makes that alive. But he doesn't change your body. Don't you wish he would? I know in heaven I'm going to be tall and thin. I just know it with a full head of hair. And our soul. He said he'd make you a new creature, a new creation. Spirit. Soul. When I got up, I still thought the same way. You know, I'm amazed at how we take so much care for this. You know, every one of you in here look nice. And most of you smell nice. The ones that don't usually are sitting on an aisle by themselves. We we prepare this body. But sometimes if we could look into our soul, what is our soul? It's the mind, will, and emotion. Sometimes if we, and I'm not talking just to you, I'm talking to me, I'm talking to Jeremy. I'm talking to preachers, and I'm talking to worship leaders, and I'm talking to Sunday school teachers, and I'm talking to your children, and I'm talking to you. Sometimes our soul is filthy. If we could show your thoughts on this screen, you would crawl under your pew. Sometimes. Other times you would say, show it, Pastor. And I want us to live to where you could show my thoughts on that screen. That's called holiness. And the Lord says, be holy as I am holy. Folks, it's not preached much in our churches anymore. But God expects you to be holy, separated from this world. What are you thinking about? What are you dwelling on? What are you allowing to resonate in your soul? Oftentimes, Satan plants stuff and we allow it to stay. Somehow, he found the broken up ground. I'm telling you, the Word of God is not the only seed that's being planted. Do you remember the parable that said the farmer went out and sold the good seed, and then later on that night, a neighbor that did not like him went out and sold the weeds? You remember that one? And they come to him and said, Master, what are we supposed to do? Should I try to dig up those weeds? And he said, no, if you dig those up, you're going to disturb the good seed. You got to let them grow together. We'll deal with that at the harvest time. The Word of God takes some time to deal in your spirit, in your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. You know, we talk about sanctification. And oftentimes we say, is sanctification instant or is it progressive? And the answer is yes. Yes, there are things that God has done immediately. When you surrendered your heart to Him, there is a sanctification that happened immediately. And then there's a sanctification that for the rest of your life, as you live for God, God is going to deal with you on some of the things in your heart. I was amazed one time. I got saved at 7 years old, and I don't know, I was probably 40-ish. And God began to deal with me on something. I couldn't tell you what it is now. But I remember thinking, God, I've been saved over 30 years. Why have you waited this long to deal with me on this issue that I've done all my life? He said, because you couldn't handle it 30 years ago. But now we need to deal with it. And I want to tell you today, I promise you, there's something that God wants to deal with you in your heart today. So there's the wayside soil that's not broken up, and Satan steals that seed immediately. And then there's the stony ground, and it's the shallow dirt. It receives the seed, but as soon as trouble comes, as soon as the sun comes up, the seed is scorched. And then there's the thorny ground. And this is the ground that I believe, if we had to label America, I'd say America is thorny ground. See, a thorny ground has weeds. Let me say it this way. It has competition for the nutrients of the soil. See, what you may not realize, but there's a lot of competition in your heart. Things are competing for your priority. And Jesus Christ must be number one. If He's not, you're living a perversion of the gospel. You know, see, we see this and we say it all the time, seek ye first. What does that mean? It doesn't mean just early in the morning. It means He is number one. But there's so much more. There's more things you got to think about. I would dare say right now, as I'm preaching, you're thinking about something else, probably. You're having to bring your thoughts back in. Oh, I can't think about dinner plans. I don't need to think about school. I don't need to think about what I'm doing tomorrow. You're trying to bring it in, right? It says there's competition, and the competition is this, the cares of this life. Can I just say this? That's not a sin. You see, every one of us have cares of this life. I care about how I look. I care about my health. I care about my wife. I care about my children. I care about you. I have lots of cares. And that's all right. Every one of us do. That's not a sin. But it can be made a sin if I place it above Jesus. Right? So the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. Please let me say this. There's nothing wrong with money. Money helps promote the gospel. But it can be something wrong with it if it grabs your heart in the wrong way. Money is nothing more than a tool. You have hammers and saws in your garage, right? Because when you go to work, you need a tool. Money's a tool in your hand that can be surrendered to God to do something great in the kingdom. That's what we just talked about, really. And then there's the desires for other things. Ooh, now we're talking, right? You got to keep those desires in check. There's a desire for sex. There's a desire for food. There's a desire for acceptance. There's a desire for love. Are those desires wrong? God put them in you. Can they be wrong? Absolutely. Can they go haywire? Absolutely. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. I think it's very fascinating that God created sex. God gave us sex as a gift, but we have perverted it. Because there's one way, and that's through marriage, where we are to enjoy sex and procreation. What a blessing it is to mankind. But has it been perverted in our world? Absolutely. You know, aren't you amazed sometimes that you can't watch a commercial about Tide without them bringing sex into it? Why? Because it captures your attention. And then there's a good ground. And I am praying today that you're good ground. I am praying that as Treva led us in worship and that worship team, thank you all. I hope that you always remember the importance that you play in this church. The worship breaks up the fallow ground of our heart so that the seed can be planted, so the Spirit of God can come and touch you and change you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and through 22, he says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their words. My son, give attention to my words." I believe that if Jesus Christ stood right in front of you today, he would say those very words, "My children, give attention to what I'm saying. Please don't come to church and check out mentally." We do it all the time. And then you leave thinking, "Oh, I'm good ground." No, you're not. If you are not allowed the Holy Ghost to touch your heart today, you've not been good ground. Don't fool yourself. There's a story in the Word of God that says, when Jesus says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," they'll say, "Hold on. I did good things. I prayed for the sick. I prayed for those demon-possessed people and they were delivered." He says, "I never knew you." Oh, Jesus, if that's not a word for the church, we better wake up. Folks, I'm not asking you to be religious. Matter of fact, I'm asking you, please don't be religious. I'm asking you to fall in love with Jesus and give him your heart and make him number one in your life. Every one of us have trials and difficulties. And when you do, that's when we lean into the Lord. We don't lean away. We lean into him. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, he goes on later in this chapter. I think I recorded this scripture for you. He said, the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground. And when he sleep at night and rise by day, the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts a sickle, because the harvest has come. There is a process to your growth. I want to talk about the process just a little bit. There's a process to you growing in the Lord. The Bible says it's line upon line, precept upon precept. See, I believe this. I believe that every time we come together and the word is sown into your heart, you need to get something. You need to receive something, and then you need to protect that seed. Don't let someone steal your seed. Don't let your children steal your seed because of anger. Right? Don't let the waitress steal your seed because she spills water on you. You bless them. You bless them. You're walking in the anointing. Don't let it leave you. A couple of things that I noticed here is the seed is sown regularly. Well, I preach to most of you once every, maybe some of you every week. Some of you once every 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a couple of you twice a year. That ain't regular enough. Do you realize you can plant seed in your own heart? Every day when you get up, first few minutes of the day, you ought to open that book. And you ought to open it with a prayer saying, Holy Ghost, plant something divine in my heart. Do you know Peter? He come along and he says that we have been made partakers of the divine nature of God. Do you realize that when you got saved, God made you able to partake with the heavenlies? Isn't you? Are you getting that? Amazing. It's amazing. Thank you. I think it's one of the most positive scriptures in the Bible that we have been made partakers of the divine nature of God. I don't know about you. I know Jeremy and I talked about this. Many times I feel very insecure. I don't think I'm able to do everything I'm called to do. I get a little worried that maybe I'm not going to give you what you need. But I rely on this scripture. I'm made a partaker of the divine nature of God. And I remind myself often, you're only a conduit. I'm just a conduit so that the word comes through me into you. And I pray that you allow him. Feed yourself regularly. You know, the next thing that I noticed, the farmer doesn't even know how it works. Here I'm trying to explain to you something. I don't know how it works. I just don't know. How can a man read a book and all of a sudden God do something through that word and make him new? How does that happen? God transforms you by the renewing of your mind, by the washing of the word. And that's a process. And it's a good process. See, you may have come in here thinking one thing, and just through the preaching of the word, all of a sudden God says, you've been thinking wrong, brother. Here's my thought on this. And then you have a choice. Well, God, I don't really care what you think. This is what mama told me. And mama ain't wrong. Even if you learned it from mama, if it goes contrary to the word of God, it's wrong. Surrender it. And I don't care how long you've been saved, you're going to be surrendering thoughts all your life that you thought were right. Because God is going to challenge everything you built your life on. And you want to build your life on this word. This is the foundation of who we are. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we know this. I love the old King James. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. And then listen to the next words, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what that tells me? I can wrongly divide it. You see, that's why I say pray about what you're getting ready to read. Because if you're not, you're going to perpetuate maybe a lie. But God will expose that lie in your heart if you'll ask Him to illuminate the Word. It takes some time. Do you know, I just threw this one in there. It's really not in this scripture. But do you know what the word husband means? Grower. So I just want to talk to you. You know, Father's Day is coming up, and you know that's my favorite service in all the year. My favorite service is Father's Day. I promise you, dads, if you come, I will not beat you up on Father's Day. Right? Mothers are exalted, fathers are beat up. Isn't that the way the church does it? But it's not going to happen here. We're going to encourage you, because I think fathers are the answer to the promotion of the gospel and good children and the change of society. I really believe that. But listen to this. A husband is a grower. What are you growing in your children? Do you know it's possible to grow anger in your kids? Word of God addresses it, right? You can grow resentment. You can grow all kinds of things. You can grow racism. That's perpetuated. You go to the nursery and you'll see little black kids playing with white kids and they have no problem with it. Well, where do they learn that? They learn it from mom and dad later on in life. Shame on us. Let's teach them love instead of hatred. You are a grower to your wife. What kind of seeds are you planting in your wife? Are you planting seeds that's going to bear fruit? Are you planting the Word of God in her? And then he goes on, he says, it's gradual. Don't you love it? Don't you love to grow things? I love to watch things grow. You plant that little seed and cover it up with dirt. And the most exciting part to me is the next few days to watch it break through that dirt. Isn't that great to watch that blade just come up? And that's what he says. And he makes such a great case. It comes up a blade and then the stalk and then eventually the head will grow, you know, so that the fruit is there. And that's when we harvest it. I just wanted to come and tell you it's the same way with the Word of God. See, the Word of God may be just breaking through the hardness of your heart right now just with one little simple truth. And God wants to come along and fertilize it and water it so it changes who you are. I think it's safe to say the things I think about that I allow to stay in my mind grows and matures and bears fruit. And that scares me sometimes. Because sometimes the thoughts that I leave in my head are not good. See, I wanted to tell you today, there's some scripture. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus calls Satan a liar. He says, you're the father of the devil. The desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He's a liar and the father of it. Please listen to me. God doesn't create junk. God created a masterpiece. You are the highest part of creation. You're not stupid. You're not a failure. God loves you. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I did yesterday. I don't have to know what you did yesterday. God loves you. If you're not even a Christian sitting in this church, God loves you. Say, well, God, why does God send us to hell then? God doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell. God's done everything in his power to stop you from going to hell. Amen. But, you know, we focus on that. I just want to tell you, God does everything in his power for you not to be a failure. God wants you to reach your destiny. God wants you to succeed. So why then is there this battle in my head? Because Satan's a liar. There's another verse that says he's an accuser. You ever hear that voice? You're such a hypocrite. Can I just say, yes, that's right, we are. We're all hypocrites. Aren't we? My life's not perfect. I won't be a hypocrite one day. And I'm thankful that I'm covered in the blood of Christ. Amen. Satan is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Does he want to steal a seed? He absolutely wants to steal a seed. You know, that's the first thing John 10:10 says. Satan is a thief. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. You know, when most Christians read this, we think he's after my money. Do you realize the most important thing that Satan can steal from you is the Word of God? If he steals this seed, he's got you. If he is allowed to plant his seed in your heart and you start believing it, your life will be a perversion of what God has called you to do. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Ephesians chapter 2 says, but God, aren't you thankful? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Amen. By grace you have been saved. You didn't deserve it and you didn't work for it. He saved you by his grace. And folks, I want you to know how much he loves you. See, if you would just get this, if you would just understand the love of God, then when those perverted words come into your mind, the word that tells you how insignificant you are, what a failure you are, then you would understand, that ain't Daddy talking to me. That's another voice. That sounds like an accusation. See, the Bible says the devil came before God to accuse Job. I don't think things have changed much. I think he's still accusing you before the throne. But the part that gets me, because God can handle that accusation. But when he comes into my ear and he starts accusing me, that's hard to take sometimes. And I'm telling you, it's every day. He's after you every day, every moment of the day. You got to take your thoughts captive. You cannot take a vacation on this. How do we overcome? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 says, though we walk in this flesh, we don't war against according to the flesh. Man, don't you wish you could wrestle this one? Don't you wish you could just shoot it? How many of you would like to shoot the devil? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not flesh, but they're mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. I want you to know today that I intend to stay here for a while. And I don't mean I'm going to keep you a long time today, but next week you're probably going to get more of this. Maybe get more of it the week after that. I'm going to hit this and I'm going to hit it hard. Because I believe lots of Christians are living unsuccessful lives for Christ. And you know why? Because of this. Because we're thinking wrong. You've heard the expression stinking thinking, right? We have a lot of stinking thinking in the body of Christ. And I believe the Lord is bringing a message to his church. And he's saying, get your thoughts right and your life will follow suit. We're just looking for a book, aren't we? Just give me that next self-help book. Show me something, Pastor. Give me a book that I can study. I'll give you a book you can study. Study this one. There is no greater book that you can study than this one. Every other book is an opinion of a man. This one is God's Word. this is the only book that's about 2,000 years old that still is alive. It's still bearing fruit. It's still able to change your life. It's still able to tell you whether your motive are good or bad. And it's still able to tell you the Satan's a liar. I've said this many times. It's not a fleshly battle. It's a spiritual battle. And you cannot meditate a spirit. Did I say medicate or meditate? Medicate. That's what I meant. Medicate. Medicate. So what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, there's a lot of Christians that are taking medication for their mind. They're having anxiety. They're having fear. And I'm not telling you not to take medication. You may need it for a little while. But I think it ought to be temporary. Because y'all need to allow the Holy Ghost to come in and to deal with that spirit that's beating you up. If this really is spiritual, you can't medicate it. Jesus didn't go up to the demon possessed and says, take two pills and call me in the morning. He said, come out. Say, Pastor, I'm saved. You know, I know a lot of saved people. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed, but I'm saying Satan's beating them over the head. I'm saying saved people have strongholds. You know, he just talked about this place in the Philippines. These little girls have been trafficked, sex objects. And they're coming into this safe haven. And I bet they're not giving them Xanax at the door. They're giving them the Holy Ghost. Because Xanax ain't going to help them tear a stronghold down that's been, they've been abused. Can you imagine this? I don't want you to go deep into this, but think about what these kids have been done to. Only the blood of Jesus can remove that stain from their life. Amen. Say, Pastor, you think they can be whole again? Absolutely. You know what? You can be too. You can be whole again. They're mighty in God. They're mighty in God. You're mighty in God. That's the word in Ephesians 6. He tells us, be mighty, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. What are strongholds? They're thoughts that have been placed there and lived long in your life, such as I'm a failure. Such as maybe you didn't have a good mama. There's lots of fatherless people in the church. But I have found when people don't have a good mama and when mama speaks something to them, it leaves a scar that can really be deep and can go with you the rest of your life until the Holy Ghost digs it out. Oh, don't you want Him to? Aren't you ready to allow the Spirit of God to reach down to your heart and remove the scar? Have you been divorced? If you've been divorced, there's some scars in your heart. But God can remove it. If you've been abused, if you've had an abortion, there's some scars in this life that will go with you the rest of your life until Jesus gets involved. And the rest of us, we got to bring our thoughts in captivity. You cannot allow yourself to think gutter thoughts all day long and then come into the house of God and shout the roof off. That's called hypocrisy. You're not fooling anybody, especially Him. Deal with your thoughts. Let's wear the helmet of salvation at all times. So I wrote this formula. The Word of God implanted. The helmet of salvation. Plus prayer. Plus the Holy Spirit of God. Brings victory all the time. Amen. I am so thankful for the simplicity of the Word of God. Sometimes it's hard to live, but it's easy to It's easy to grasp. You know, God called us sheep, right? That's the dumbest creature on this earth. It really wasn't a compliment, guys, when he calls us the sheep of his pasture. You know, one thing that I have discovered, you don't drive sheep, you lead them. God's not driving us. Satan wants to drive you. If you feel that impatience in your soul, if you feel like something's just pushing and pushing and pushing, it's probably the devil, not God. God is walking in front of you and saying, follow me. Come on, follow me. I'm going to lead you into righteousness if you just walk with me. Walk in tandem. Just follow me. It's not going to happen in a day. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Jesus Christ will change your life. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about so much more. We go from glory to glory is what the Word of God says, right? So we've talked about sanctification being a process. You know what the end result is? Glorification. When I become like Him. Now I will be like Him when I step over into glory. When I step through that gate, I become like Christ. But right here on this earth, I'm supposed to be like Him also. I'm supposed to resemble Him. I'm supposed to carry the light that He has in my life. I just wonder, do you feel like you're carrying the light of Jesus Christ? Are you letting the light of Christ shine? Are you His representative? Are you born again? When Nicodemus came, Nick was a rabbi. He says, what do I have to do? Jesus started to rebuke him at first. And then he answered him. And he said, you must be born again. Right. You know, I'm so sick of the church. If we could talk about this spiritual life and look at it like a ladder, somehow we've got salvation at the top of the ladder. And you've got to understand, it's the first rung. When you get saved, you're stepping onto the ladder of Christ. And now, everything becomes new. And He has a way into your soul called the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and He begins to change your mind. You know, Proverbs, way back then, Solomon wrote this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think gutter thoughts all day, that's who you really are. You may put this mask on for church, but He sees through it. Don't you want to be holy? I do. I really do. I mean, it's a desire of my life. Jesus, when He came preaching and teaching, He said this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Ask yourself this question. Am I good ground today? Will I allow the Holy Spirit to plant a seed in my heart today that will bear fruit for the rest of my life? See, that's the question we should ask ourselves every time we come together, every day of your life. He talked about watch the news. The news wants to plant seeds in your heart. Seeds of confusion. Seeds of disunity. Seeds of racism. Seeds of doubt and fear and unbelief. Man, we are inundated with the thoughts of the devil. We must get into the Word of God and allow Him to change our thoughts. And as we change our thoughts, we change who we are in Him. It really is that simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. I have known mentally challenged people that understood salvation better than some of us. And they just accept it. Isn't it precious? Someone with not a high IQ can know the love of God. Isn't that precious? Would you stand with me today? I challenge you today, and I hope and I pray, are you good ground? Have you been distracted today? Or are you good ground? What is the Holy Spirit trying to do in you today that will change you forever? You know, it's possible that you came into the service fighting with your wife. A little spat. Now, you can stay sour for 3 days if you want to, or you can surrender that to Jesus Christ and He will change that and He'll make you whole again. It's possible that you're mad at my wife today. It's possible that you could be mad at me, right? Because I'm the bearer of the truth of the Word of God. And sometimes we want to kill the messenger. Shoot the messenger. Folks, don't shoot me. All I've done is preach the gospel to you today. There's not much other thing. It's possible that you haven't stepped on the ladder of Jesus Christ yet. Maybe you're not on the first rung. Have you given your heart to Christ? Really? Have you really surrendered? You know, I was talking to Brother Tony today. He said, you know, I don't find anywhere in Scripture where he says, believe and you'll be, not believe and you'll be saved, but to ask the Lord to become Savior. He says, everywhere I read, it doesn't say, come into my heart and be my Savior. It says, come in my heart and be my Lord. There's a difference between Savior and Lord. Are you fully surrendered to Christ? In other words, He is number one. He's the priority of your life. That's Lord. You are His servant if you're saved. Would you close your eyes, bow your head? I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not even going to ask you to step out of your seat. But I want to know, are you sure that you're born again? The Bible says in 1 John, you can know. You ought to know. You better know. This is way too important to think that I'm right. You better know that you know that you know that you're born again. And if you don't know, would you just raise your hand? No one will see this. But I want to pray with you. Is anyone here that says, I'm just not sure? If I went into eternity today, I don't know. I see your hand, sister. I see your hand, my brother. I don't know, Eric, and I want to be sure. I want to lead you folks in prayer. You can put your hands down, but lift your eyes into Jesus. You're not praying to me, you're praying to Him. See, the Word of God says that we're all sinners, every one of us. We've all committed sin. And it says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And when we were yet sinners, He loved us and died for us. So you come into the presence of God and you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need you to be the Lord of my life. I surrender everything about me right now unto you. I ask you, be my Savior and my Lord. I will follow you all the days of my life. And I pray, God, that you would begin to change the way I think. Make me a success in this life and in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me pray for you, saint of God. Lord, I believe, Lord, that this is really where each and every one of us live. God, there's a lot of scars in the past. There's a lot of hurts, Lord, that we are maybe still dealing with. I'm asking you, Lord, to come in, dig up the seed that should not be there, and let the seed of God be planted in our heart today. I pray that every lie that Satan has sowed in my heart would be dug up tonight, today. And God, I pray that seeds of everlasting, Lord, the implanted seed, like James said, would save our soul. Salvation means soundness. It's soundness of mind. God, I want to have a sound mind. I don't want to walk in fear. I don't want to walk in anxiety. I want my mind to be stable, emotionally stable in you, God. I'm asking you, Lord, dig up the seeds and plant new ones, God. Plant the new seed of the Word of God. Do a work that only you can do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Danny, if you'd come forward, let me say this to you. I think all of you have my cell phone. You may need to call me. I want you to call me at some point and say, Pastor, I've been dealing with some stuff in my mind. Don't call if you don't need me, but I just feel real impressed to say, if you've been dealing with something, I don't want to preach your funeral because you took your own life. Because despair has been planted in your heart. Sometimes Christians give up. Folks, let's talk to somebody. Let's grab the hand of somebody and say, hey, this is what Satan has been doing to my life. Would you pray for me? It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be Treva. It could be somebody else in this church, but don't hold that despair. Are you getting me? Somebody in our remote family just committed suicide about 2 weeks ago or a week ago. I'm telling you, it shook me up. Seemed like he had the world by the tail. Folks, we mask way too much in the house of God. We put this mask on like I've got my act together. Bless God, I'm a holy man and whoo, I just got it together. And inside, when we go home, we take this mask off and we think, oh man, I'm so sad. Don't be sad alone. You hear me? Don't be sad alone. The Bible says when one of us hurt, we all hurt. But when one of us rejoice, we all rejoice. You see, if you'll share with me, maybe we can talk about it, but I know we can pray about it. Amen. We can come. Folks, suicide is all around us. Let's not wait until it comes in the house of God to deal with this issue. Let's address it head on. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. God is at work in your life. Oftentimes when you can't see it, don't give up. Amen.
Missionary in the back, get his card, shake his hand. Tell him thanks for the great work he's doing. So, raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing and nothing broken, now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.